Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the breakdown of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, the breakdown of normal social systems, systems that would continue a civilization. It's hard to imagine this civilization continuing, and we've mentioned this time and time again over the last 15 years of this broadcast. Why? Because we live at the end of a civilization. We're living in 474 AD Rome, 475 being the breakdown of the entire Roman Empire, the breakdown of the Roman Republic. And that's precisely where we are right now, especially as we see Pandora's box opening. And we've referred to this as well. And of course, the breakdown of social mores has happened, and the normal social restraints are pretty much gone. And this since the 1970s, meaning that America no longer allows for the nuclear family. America no longer allows for basic social systems that were maintained by nations like China, Japan, Muslim countries, pagan nations. These nations are enabled by the common grace of God to continue generation after generation because there are still some social mores that keep society in certain bounds and enables a family to continue. The basic structures of human society have been maintained through the millennium by the mercy of God. But for some reason, God in his sovereign wisdom has determined that America and the Western world would lose all sense of morality and lose all sense of social mores, especially when it comes to killing their children, mass infanticide, mass sexual perversion, and the breakdown of the nuclear family. Well, that's where we are today, and I think we just have to step back and realize that these social restraints are gone. You can kill your babies, you can shoot up drugs, you can have sex with whatever, and be whatever sex or animal you want to be. It's basically all socially acceptable today. And, of course, the ultimate child abuse is the transgender movement and the homosexualization of kids through Disney and through the public schools. And by the way, the suicide attempt rate for transgender teens has hit 50%. Did you know that, Steve?
No, it was 40 last I looked.
It's 50% now. So the suicide attempt rate for transgender teens has hit 50%. And so it is a nation in suicide. It's a nation that is destroying itself. It's a nation that's destroying its schools, that's destroyed its sexuality, that's destroyed its family. It has put explosive charges in the foundation of all of social order and has pulled the pin. Friends, it's already happened. Just realize, friends, the common grace of God has been removed. And the common grace of God is the grace and mercy of God that restrains evil and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God has removed this from the Western nations, except for several islands of freedom, several islands of culture, several islands of faith that still exist here and there, as long as the evangelicals don't kowtow to every single false idea and destructive concept and ideology that has already destroyed the Western world. Sadly, the evangelicals have gone for some of this. But there are some islands of freedom. There's some islands of family. There's some islands of education in which children are brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and are protected from the corrosive and destructive toxic influences of pop culture and the educational institutions, the zeitgeist that has already destroyed our civilization.
Yeah, and so for Christian parents who are out there, I say come to the islands. It's a good island to be on when you are raising your children yourself and raising them with your morality, with the biblical view of family and education and beauty and all of those things that are definitely in decline.
You know, this is an obvious fact, friends. It's an obvious fact that America has destroyed itself. Western civilization has already imploded. And just about any social commentator, just about anybody who studies history will tell you that there have been radical social revolutions, radical social cultural revolutions that have disrupted all of the Western world in just the last 50 to 60 years. Of course, we outline this in the new textbook, America in God's Providence, a Christian worldview history for 10th to 12th grade high school. And friends, be sure to give your children the right story, the right worldview that interprets history in the right light.
and does not present the last 40, 50 years as the most glorious time in all of human history. Friends, again, worldview matters. Worldview matters when you present your particular take on history, and we siphon historical events through the worldview structure of God's law and the Word of God. And so, friends, be sure that you give your children the right story. We have it in a 10th grade, 1,000-page history textbook, which tells the good story, the interesting story, the amazing true story of the rise and fall of the Christian Republic of the United States of America. Yes, the rise and fall of a great nation on earth, perhaps the most powerful, most prosperous nation on earth. But you must tell your children the real story of what happened in the rise and the fall of the American Republic. I'm not the only person saying this, Steve.
No. Dennis Prager, back in April of 2015, wrote for the National Review that he saw the complete decay of America, the decline of the family, decline of education, the end of male and female, the end of right and wrong, the end of religion, the end of beauty, all leading to the decay of these United States.
And I'm not sure that Dennis Prager is a born-again Christian, but he, by the common grace of God, is enabled some basic wisdom, and he is one of the better cultural commentators of the day. He is a little bit like Gamaliel, who was saying some of the right things during the breakdown of the Jewish nation.
Yes.
In and around AD 70. Thankfully, there are some who are seeing the truth and are explaining the truth from a common grace perspective. So again, there are those who have maintained some semblance of rationality and can properly interpret what has happened in the fall and the demise of an entire civilization. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Podcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today as we discuss the removal of social restraints from the entire Western world. Social restraints would ordinarily keep a society together, much as non-Christian nations like China, Japan, Muslim nations, pagan nations are unable to continue because they haven't given way to the destruction of sexuality, the destruction of the family, and the rest. But most of the Western world has capitulated to this at the same time that we have seen a robust apostasy away from the Christian faith. So it's, not only are we seeing a destruction of the Christian faith, but we're also seeing a destruction of human society going on concomitantly. The Canada Free Press has an interesting article here, Steve, on transgenderism in the public schools and amongst young people, young children. And this is the way the article reads. Gender red guards are seizing the curriculum in government schools, and they are coming for your kids. Transgenderism's recruiting plans do include your kids. Ryan T. Anderson, the author of When Harry Became Sally, responding to the transgender moment, gave a speech last week at Catholic University of America. Some of the high points or low points of Ryan Anderson's talk is incorporated into this Canada Free Press article. Transgender ideology and its implementation by child welfare bureaucrats is, quote, systematically undermining parental authority. So, again, it's a statist approach. It appears that statism and the corruption of sexuality and the breakdown of the morality of a nation is concomitant. And that, of course, has been going on for a very long time. No surprise there. Today, the focus of transgenderism tends to be on our children, Anderson warns. There are already 45 clinics that specialize in children and essentially function as recruitment depots. These clinics make sure that once a child has expressed even the most tentative misgivings regarding their assigned gender, the staff makes sure there is no backsliding on the part of the child or the parents. And the power of suggestion for children is very high. And children aren't exactly the most balanced and the most wise and the most given to the highest standard of morality. So, you know, children could easily capitulate to any kind of craziness, especially when it comes to gender issues. So when you have cheerleaders on the sidelines encouraging children to the most egregious abandonment of rationality, these children will most likely give way to this. These children's clinics are a sexual checkpoint. Charlie, once the child crosses over, he's behind the Berlin gender wall, never to be allowed to return, according to this article. Here, the power of the state enforces transgender conformity. Physicians are experimenting on helpless children to advance an ideologically driven medical theory with no basis in fact. Inside the clinic, parents are presented with a transfer tots regime, where one size fits all, a three-year-old that just finished toddling, but is sexually wise beyond his years, will begin socially transitioning. The child gets a new name, new gender, and starts playing for a new team as he lives as the opposite sex, and so forth and so on, preparing to receive his new vagina, and on it goes. Okay, so that's the article. Steve, this is what it looks like. When all things are possible and all social mores are gone, all fences in human society are torn down and society is left to self-destruct. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, and it is not pretty. It is the it's the beginning of the end. Actually, we're probably past the beginning now.
Yeah.
We're seeing the end of our culture.
And the only thing that can salvage it, of course, again, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that nobody is beyond salvaging. Absolutely nobody is beyond salvaging. The gospel of Jesus Christ can reach into any neighborhood and bring about a transition and a transformation of everything, a transformation of one's sexuality, a transformation of one's heart, a transformation of one's life, a transformation of one's mind, a transformation of everything. People, you know, I've argued against the idea of a young person transforming in the area of sexuality. Hey, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God doesn't just create a different sexuality. It creates a different man and a different woman and a different boy and a different girl. And that is the only thing that's going to save these kids.
Yeah, I cannot stress enough that we need to, as parents, raise our children with a biblical standard. And I mean, there's so many out there that say, yeah, I believe the Bible, I believe there's a God and all that. But the statistics are showing there's only about 6 to 10% that are actually living a true biblical lifestyle. Unless we are doing that, we're not being the parents that we're called to be by God.
Well, with the breakdown of all sexual restraints in society since the 1970s, it turns out the evangelicals attempted to throw up some rather weak fences to try to salvage something, and they have failed. And so I'm going to spend the rest of the program discussing what happened when evangelicals attempted to put up flimsy fences in lieu of the destruction of all fences on the part of pop culture and all of our educational and political institutions. Will the flimsy fences placed up by evangelicals compensate for the torpedoing of all of the social mores and all of the fences on the part of our political, social, and cultural institutions? That's the question today. There's a new book out, Steve, called Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free. The author is Linda K. Klein. She evidently spent some time, some years in her teenage period going to an evangelical fundamentalistic type of church and participating in the True Love Waits programs of the 1990s. You remember these, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she has written a new book called Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free. And guess what? She's getting more interviews from Fox News and NPR than I do for my books.
Yeah, well, I could see that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Your books tell the truth.
Well, she's covered by major news agencies everywhere. I read the first 20, 30 pages of the book. And basically, the thesis of the book is that if you shut down sexuality in your single life, it will be harmful to your psyche. And basically, the whole evangelical fundamentalistic True Love Waits program was all about shame mongering, and shame is bad.
Yes.
Now, first of all, shame ain't all that bad.
No.
For a lot of reasons. But when all of the social mores are history and there are no more fences, there's nothing left in society that could create any shame. And when society sees shame to be probably the biggest sin and shame mongering to be the greatest shame sin of them all, then society is not going to be open to anything that would provide any kind of this shame and guilt. Nobody likes to be reminded of their shame and guilt. And so societies that are imploding, societies that have already destroyed their foundations and are ready to destroy the worker to retiree ratio, the birth rates of a nation, the sexuality of a nation, the educational programs of the nation, societies that are bound to destroy everything about their nation are not going to be that interested in any more fences. They're not going to be interested in shame and guilt. And at the end of the day, anybody that is going to provide any kind of shame and guilt upon a society that has already abandoned all of its social mores and has torpedoed all of its social fences is not going to be interested in any kind of shame mongering on the part of some flimsy evangelical church. And I think that's where we are today. The bottom line is imposing more shame and guilt on unbelievers like Linda K. Klein is going to backfire. It's not going to do any good. Why? Because she is not going to go to the cross of Jesus and receive forgiveness for her sins, cleansing from her sins, and the power that comes by the gospel to overcome the sinful inclinations of her heart and life.
Yeah, but she says that she is a Christian. She says that she's accepted Christ, that she did that at the age of 12, and that she grew up in an evangelical home and Christian parents and all of that.
And now she's pushing for the permissivism when it comes to any kind of sexual sin, including homosexuality and all the rest. So that's where she is now. The solution for Linda K. right now is to love and include and to be inclusive to everybody, depending regardless of their sin. Jesus loves me, this I know, so I'll keep on rolling with the flow. While other guys are raising kids, I'm raising hell just like I did. This is the other form of antinomian Christianity where Jesus saves us from nothing. Jesus cannot save us from our sins because we like to sin. Jesus saves us from the concept of sin and obliterates the concept of God's law so that we can do whatever we want to do. That's the gospel of Linda K. Klein.
Yeah, and we see that. It's interesting in Hebrews when it talks about Moses and that he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He had everything before him that he could possibly want, and yet he considered Christ to be much greater than the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable, but it's fleeting.
Well, what do we say about the celibacy programs in the evangelical church, the True Love Waits programs? Now, what do we say about these? And Steve, there's a tough discussion on this. I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I will say that I think we need to step back and ask ourselves a few questions. When you push celibacy and there's no conversion in a society where the walls have all broken down and everybody does it, are you with me?
Yeah.
In other words, everybody's doing it. You're living in a whorehouse and everybody's doing it. And you're trying to push celibacy, but there's no conversion. There's no regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God in these people's lives. Is it really worthwhile to push so hard on celibacy when there's no conversion and the walls of common grace in a society have broken down. They've already collapsed. It seems to me that some of this is going to be counterproductive. If there's no heart change and society has removed all its walls of protection, there's no real hope for people outside of a heart change, a preaching of the gospel, a recognition of our sin, and a crying out to Jesus to save us from our sins. I just think that's the best thing we can pray for. That's the best thing we can preach for. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're approaching this from a strictly guilt-ridden perspective, that you need to not, you know, thou shalt not, and forget about the heart of the matter of you can have total satisfaction in Christ alone. If that is where you're looking for fulfillment in Christ alone, then everything else will fall into place.
You know, we live in a whorehouse. I mean, the whole society has accepted sexual sin. These are our neighbors. These are the people that go to our churches, not entirely, but on average, the people attending churches are committing fornication. The majority of pastors have a problem with pornography. And on, do I need to go on? 80% of young born-again, quote-unquote, Christian kids, 18 to 26 years of age, are doing porn on a weekly or monthly basis. Okay, we live in a whorehouse. The modern world is a whorehouse. The walls are down. There are no social mores left. The walls of common grace have come down, and trying to get an unconverted kid to not have sex while he's living in a whorehouse seems to me, and while shaming him with a True Love Waits campaign, seems to me to be an exercise in futility. Are you with me here, Steve?
Oh, yeah. And now, I think that's the problem.
You can do one of several things. You can remove the whorehouse, meaning don't raise him on the internet. Don't raise him in public schools. Don't raise him with a peer group. Okay, you can pull him away from the whorehouse and create some social mores within your own home. That's one solution. But this idea of trying to get unconverted kids living in a whorehouse, shaming him with a True Love Waits program and hoping that he doesn't commit sexual sin, is an exercise in futility. This weak moralistic approach to just say no to drugs or fill in the blank campaigns, how well did that work out?
Yeah.
We've got, 10, 20 times the drug deaths today than we did in the late 1980s?
Yeah.
After $1 trillion funding of the drug wars, some of the media outlets have called this the greatest fiasco, the greatest monetary fiasco in all of human history. Do you realize that? Yeah, like the drug war. Has it worked? No.
No.
So these moralistic campaigns, just say no to drugs, haven't worked very well. The walls of common grace have come down since the 50s and 60s, friends. Every wall came down. There's no more walls to prevent massive social disintegration and every form of sexual perversion. That's where we are today. That's where we lie today. Okay, a couple other points that I think we need to make is this. When it comes to the True Love Waits programs and such and so forth, ignoring the mandate, it is better to marry than to burn, which is what we find in 1 Corinthians 7, is crazy. You are absolutely out of your mind if you are in a Christian church and you are ignoring the mandate given to us by the Apostle Paul. It is better to marry than to burn. Forcing evangelical kids to wait till they're 29 to get married is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. And hoping that somehow these kids raised in a whorehouse with access to all these porn sites are going to get away with avoiding all pornography over, 18 years of sexual awareness. In the old days, 10-year-old boys, 12-year-old boys learned how to work, and by the time they were 18 years of age and they had something of a sexual drive, they were ready to get married because they'd been working in the family economy since they were 9, 10, 11 years of age. They were ready to get married by the time they were 18 years of age instead of burning for an additional 11 years. So again, I'm just talking about obvious stuff here, friends. These are obvious things where we have set up a system where somehow our evangelical kids are supposed to conform to the zeitgeist and avoid getting married for 11, 12, 14, 15 years and not burn for that whole period of time. No. That's ridiculous. It is better to marry than to burn. And here's one more principle that I think is important. Our society is awakening sexuality before its time. You know that Song of Solomon?
Song of Solomon, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's helpful here, Steve, because, you know, the awakening of sexuality is risky.
Yes.
Isn't that the point made in Song of Solomon?
Yeah.
Just the awakening of sexuality is risky. And pornography is everywhere. The entire society has been sexualized and porned out. And men and women alike are sexualized everywhere. Almost everybody's damaged goods by the time they're 16 years of age. And I think we need to be aware of these things. Now, how do Christians survive in a society like this, Steve? By the grace of God.
Yes.
And by all-out spiritual warfare. And by prayer and supplication, friends. This is out of control, Steve.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, I like in the Psalms where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you, he will create within you the desires you're supposed to have. You know, so the three principles I try to at least remember is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll make your path straight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
I think the evangelical church needs to get back to the basics, just like this. We need to get back to the power of the gospel, the fear of God, the love for God, and respect for his law versus the traditions of men. So much of the purity movement wrapped itself around formulas and extra-biblical recipes and legalistic accoutrements to the law of God.
Yes.
So I think the evangelical world missed the power of God, the law of God, the fear of God, just about everything that's substantial, and it hung on to a few externals. And so in the end, it was a failure.
Yeah.
One of the leaders of the purity movement has now repented for leading the purity movement. I'm not going to mention his name. But he now says the idolization of virginity is an unhealthy focus. Let me read that one more time. The idolization of virginity is an unhealthy focus. And that was one of the most confused statements I think I've ever heard. Now, see, much of the millennial generation is confused. And their worldview has been put into a blender. And they come out with statements like this. Now, listen again. The idolization of virginity is an unhealthy focus. That's like saying the idolization of fearing God and obeying God is an unhealthy focus. I'm not sure Solomon agreed with that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 when we heard the whole conclusion to the matter.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Did he say, did Solomon wrap up the book, the idolization of fearing God and obeying God is an unhealthy focus? Is that the end of the matter?
No, it's the obedience
fearing
to God.
And obedience to God is the whole duty of man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was it. The idolization of Jesus Christ as our king and our lawgiver is an unhealthy focus. No, 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 friends. That's just wrong. And of course, now we have the confusion of moving from the legalistic worldview of the fundamentalists of the 1980s and 90s, creating their pseudo fences to keep people somehow kind of half obeying God, but not so in their heart, to an all-out antinomianism of the day is pretty much the way the apostasy of evangelicalism has gone. Going from the ditch of legalistic thinking to antinomian thinking. This is precisely what the all-out apostasy of the modern evangelical world has done for the last 30 to 40 years. And the separation of the message of Jesus Christ's powerful redemption from the rest of the Ten Commandments is not healthy. The separating out of I am the Lord thy God who delivered you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of the bondage of your sins, from now you shall not commit adultery. The separation of the deliverance of God from the bondage of the devil and sin from his commandments. The idea that, you know, we've been saved by the power of the living God and the death and the resurrection of the Son of God himself from the commandments of God, thou shalt not commit adultery. The separation out of the indicative from the imperative has been utterly devastating to the evangelical church. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast, my friends. We have seen the obliteration of the walls. And people say, well, this will be better. Well, my conclusion to that is no, no, no. No, no, no. The obliteration of shame and guilt and all the fences is not going to be better for a society. the emotional, psychological destruction of children, the suicide of transgender teens that comes because of the pattern of adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality that marks the average family today, is out of control. The destruction of children, the destruction of families, the destruction of the psyche of the nation, and the massive, massive increase in the use of psychotropic drugs and all the rest is because the walls have come down and Pandora's box has been opened. And the destruction will be everywhere around us. The idea that the removal of all of these things will be for the good of the nation, and the publishing of antinomian books, and the coming out of the closet of the antinomian evangelicals is somehow going to better the nation is bogus. Because all that hate Jesus, all that hate wisdom, love death. Well, the solution to all of this is the continual publishing of the 200-proof gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came to set the captives free, and he came to set us free from sin. He came to save us from our sins. He came to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he has the power to do that, and you need to believe that. We need to believe in miracles in our churches. We need to believe that Jesus can raise the dead, and he can heal the lepers, and he can raise the dead and give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He can still do that in our churches today. And that powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, which is able to save us to the uttermost, needs to be preached in our churches even today. Well, friends, that's the hope. That's the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we encourage you to our Bible study guides. The best thing you could do, keep your children at home. Teach them the word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. And I'd encourage you to our Bible study guides on the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, book of Matthew, book of Genesis. We're going through the Psalms Bible study guides with our family right now for maybe the third or fourth time. But we just study the word of God as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. Don't raise your children in a whorehouse. Raise them in a Christian home. And give them a Christian discipleship all day, every day. Raise them in the fear of God. Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.